Blog Talk Radio. Oh my, that's why my, I'm so sorry, everybody. I just was he receiving phone. I just gave a whole introduction, and I think something was going on with the phones. Ain't this something? Okay, anybody, welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. I apologize for that small technical difficulty. I really do. Thank you, Mr. Nance, for calling me and making me aware. Once again, good evening and welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. I'm not even going to go back into it. I just did an introduction, but for some reason we was muted. The phone lines was crossed or something like that. But my guest for tonight is Dr. Lois, I hope I pronounced this right, Dez Kelly. We met on Facebook a long time ago. I actually texted her in 2009, and she texted me back in 2018. 9 years later.
I can't believe you just said that.
How you doing? Oh, I apologize for that. Dr. Lois Dez Kelly, you know what just happened? I just gave a long introduction, and I didn't even know I was muted. And then somebody was calling me, and I said, something must be wrong because he never calls me. And I checked, and the phone was muted. So that's why it was a long gap in between me coming on because the microphone was muted. I apologize to you and all the listeners out there very much. So if anybody missed my introduction, if you on the line and you wanna talk to my guest or you wanna talk to me, you have to press 1. If you on the link, unfortunately you're only gonna be able to listen. But if you on the line, if you called in, you can press 1, and I'll bring you on live with me or my guest for this evening. So after that 5-minute blunder, that's on me. I don't have time to go back into the introduction without no further.
Oh my gosh.
I want to bring the featured attraction on. Dr. Lois.
Oh my gosh.
Am I pronouncing your middle name correctly? Dez? What is it? Dez?
Dez Kelly. D-A-I-S. Dez.
Lois Dez Kelly.
No, Dez. 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 As in the days of the week.
Oh, okay. Dr. Lois Dez Kelly.
Kelly. Right.
All right. I got to wait a minute. I got to bring you in correctly. I wish you could have heard the introduction I gave you, but no, I was on mute, so nobody heard it but me and my cat here. So I'll tell you about it later.
All right. Well, listen.
How you doing?
Thank you. I do thank you, and thank you so much for this introduction. And I have to tell you, I absolutely went through my messages, and you are correct. You are absolutely correct. I did text you back 9 years later. But in my defense, life happens, challenges happens, family happens,
right.
Crisis happens, sessions happens, and I don't know what happened, but I am truly a firm believer in doing things for the right reason and doing it for the right season. And the season probably wasn't right then. It is absolutely correct now.
Amen. I believe that. That's what I said. I said that everything is done. Everything is done for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. You can't control fate.
So that's true.
It was meant for us to connect now, and it was meant for you to be on my podcast now.
That's right.
So,
9 years later.
So,
that's right.
9 years. More than 9 years later. I texted you in 2009. You inboxed me back in 2018. And then you we start talking again in 2022. So it's really more than that.
Oh, my word. Well, so there's so much happening in my life now that I probably wouldn't have had as much to share then. So the season is absolutely hanging in there for this time and this day, and I'm grateful to be here with you tonight.
Thank you. Wherever you at in your life right now, you there for a reason. That's for everybody. You're not there by mistake. I'm not on this podcast by mistake. I'm here for a reason. You're not on this podcast by mistake. You here for a reason. Everybody in the podcast is here for a reason. So look, we wanna get started. You know what I mean? Somebody trying to call and they can't go through. You grew up in Paterson, New Jersey, right?
I did. I grew up right there on 12th and 23rd Street and attended school 13, Eastside High. I believe that my whole neighborhood went from Madison or East 18th Street and 12th until 33rd and 12th. We just knew everyone. And at this point in time in our lives growing up, our parents knew everybody else's parents and everybody's pet. You know, it was just a family gathering. And I just grew up with amazing friends that I still have in my life to this very day. Reverend Blakely, the founder of Shiloh Baptist Church, his daughter Sharon is one of my great friends. I absolutely could not be here without a lot of their support. This family, my friends, my children, my grandchildren, hello guys, I want you to know that in 2020, I was diagnosed with a sarcoma cancer, and my family absolutely were my greatest support system. You don't know how to act, you don't know what to feel, but I employ everyone at the sound of my voice that if there is something going on with your loved ones, with you, with your friends, don't wait. This could have turned out terribly wrong for me, but it wasn't even a stage one. And last year, January actually, after six chemos and three radiations, April 13th, I had what you call a PET scan. It is like a CAT scan, only you move in this tunnel of massive equipment at such a snail's pace, you don't even realize you're moving. And at the end of it, you're probably in there about 15, maybe 20 minutes because you're going absolutely very, very slowly as they're taking pictures. The very next day, my radiologist called and informed me no further disease was in my body. That's just the grace of God. I employ anyone who is going through any situation with your family, with your friends, please do not hesitate. We think that breast cancer is just for women. Men have breast cancer as well. It's not known as much, but it is. I actually was contacted by a young woman that said she remembered me from high school. And I thought you knew everyone. I couldn't remember her, but she said she went through school with me, but she graduated her senior year at Kennedy. But this woman was so informative because she herself had breast cancer and had many chemos and had 33 radiation treatments to the point where they absolutely burned off her entire breast and had to remold it again. I listened to this woman, and I'm thinking what I'm going through is nothing compared to this. So it doesn't matter what we go through in life. It's not what you go through. It's how you go through it. And I just am that firm believer that we go through things. There's going to be challenges in our lives. There's going to be obstacles in our lives. It is not what you go through. It's how you go through. And if you went in with a praise, even in the midst of your troubles, God is always there. And I can assure you today that had it not been for the prayers of the righteous, I probably wouldn't be here today. So thank God for favor, because that's what have me here on this line today.
Right. Well, I was about to ask you about I was about to ask you a couple of things, but I think you went over a couple of things.
Okay.
But you remember, I was you know, we had that rehearsal interview before the show, and we got along so good, because you like to talk. We really had a I think me and you could do. We could talk forever if we really had to. We really had a good conversation.
Yeah.
So, but what I wanted to ask you, though, was, I think you touched on it a little bit, but how was it? Because, I mean, I got listeners in Hawaii and North Carolina and South Dakota from everywhere. I let people know, I'm based in Paterson, New Jersey. So the people that's in Paterson that know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, you see how 12th and 23rd is now. Compared to how I was when you was young.
When I was growing up.
When you was growing up. What?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit more about how it was when you was growing up, because that probably was the 70s, I'm assuming.
Okay, we're not going to go there, but I'm going to say.
Huh?
But we just knew everyone. You know what I'm saying? The neighborhood was, we all went to school together, we came back home together, and then we'd be on the phone for hours, and we'd been in school all day. I remember my mother saying, well, didn't you just walk home with her? Wasn't you just in school with her? But it's so much to share, Mommy, you know. I still have friends from grade school, and anytime I do an event, they are sure to be there, because these are folk. I have a plethora full of my friends, let's say, from my childhood. My childhood friends are absolutely my best friends to this very day. And we came out of high school together and celebrated last year, 51 years. So if we've started in grade school, I've known them longer than the 51 years we've been out of school. So we're just, you know, it was just an amazing time. It really was. I can truly say that when things happened in the neighborhood, everyone came together. You know, it was just a unifiable a moment. So I'm grateful for that. You know, I remember also going to parties, all right? I remember my father was very adamant about, well, if your mother doesn't know them, you can't go. Saying, Pop, they're right next door. Oh, okay. So, you know, it was, you know, they definitely had to know the parents. Now, of course, he would not know, but she knew everybody. And, you know, it was just a really amazing time. I absolutely can't say anything about my childhood, because those folk, even when I was going through, they were right there. They were absolutely calling or sending something. You just don't know. When I was sending you pictures today, it wasn't about me just telling you what I've done. I wanted you to see what I've done. So people can tell you anything, but the proof was in the photos
that
I sent you today.
It was.
So it gives you a keyhole of what my life has been.
Right, I've seen it. So we're going to move a little bit. So once you went to high school, did you know what you wanted to did you have an idea of what you wanted to be or what you wanted to do once you was in high school?
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Did it take a while?
My thought was to be in nursing. I actually went into college being wanting to be in nursing. And I actually got as far as the hospital. But the seven of us who were women of color absolutely was given absolutely very sick clients. You know, the others had the new babies and the new mommies and geriatrics that didn't need a lot of assistance. They probably was there behind a hip replacement or something like that. But I had, per se, a two-year-old leukemia child. And I remember my father coming to the hospital that I was at and saying, your school called and said, you haven't been in school in almost 2.5 weeks. And I was saying to him, I can't leave this baby. He said, well, you're not a nurse. The night he asked me to come home, because I would just come home, shower, change, and go back, it was just, I could not leave this baby. And the night that I left, he died. That child passed away. And I went into the registrar and told them I was not going to be a nurse, and I end up going to early childhood. I believe I was doing that to just be more closer to young children, but then I was told that's nursery until third grade. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I need a little bit more conversation than this. And then I took elementary, and then one of my minors was Black History and English Lit. I just wanted, there was just not days and hours for me to tell you what I wanted to be, but I knew that nursing just wasn't it anymore. That was not it. And I absolutely became a teacher and a revolutionary because Hoffman LaRoche was the very first one to start corporate child care. They were the first ones to start corporate child care, and therefore I was able to help set up corporate child care around the world twice. So that was such an amazing position for me. And from there, I became a director of admissions for a business school. And I wasn't there 6 months before I received a letter that I was to go forth and be a part of the St. Joseph Hospital family. And that's where I retired from. So now
I worked
on other things and doing other things. I'm sorry.
I worked at St. Joseph Hospital for 4 years, from 82 to 86. I was an orderly in the recovery room.
Okay. I came in after that. I'm almost certain I came in there after that. Like
you came after that. Okay.
Yeah, I think I came in after like 87, December 27th of 87.
So tell us a little bit about the college days. Tell us a little bit about your college days.
Well, you know, college was just work. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of work, and then I was carrying two majors. So it was a lot of work, but you know what? I was determined to come out, and I believe that was because actually behind my daughter. I had a daughter, and she became the focal point of whatever I was going to be. She could not be without anything. And she actually was the turnabout in my life, that everything that I did from that point on was for her and about her. She just became my world. And then 12 years later, she has a sister. So I absolutely adore my daughters who have grown to be such amazing women, just amazing women. One is in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and the other one is right here with me, and she has a very large position with the Walgreen family. So I'm very proud of what they've accomplished in their lives, and they just keep moving forward. It's like they have positions, but their positions doesn't stop them from doing something else on the side. I mean, my daughter here just decided that she was going to, she formulated a journal, and Amazon picked it up the same day. And then the oldest one is, I don't know what else this young lady does. She does crafts. She does candles. She does mugs. This young lady has crafts beyond crafts beyond crafts. I don't know where they get it from. That's just not what I've ever done. But they just are just so in tune on doing what they do. But then again, you know, the things that I'm doing now is so vitally important that I get where their strength comes from. So I'm proud of being that role model for them and not giving up, doing whatever it takes to make you happy, that whatever position you have in life, when you get up, you can't wait to get there. And that's the joy of your career. And it will show in what you do.
Exactly. Well said, well said, well said. So college was just college, basically.
College was work.
So,
college was work. College
so,
is just a lot
so
of work.
Let's go on. What degrees do you have?
I have a double major in early childhood elementary. I have 4 minors. I have 2 masters, and I have 2 doctorates.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Definitely is because it's a lot of people. They on their way to there or trying to get there, and you already there.
Well, you know,
so
it was something that I needed to do. You know, because as I said, I had a daughter, and whatever that child needed, my parents provided, like, everything. Like, we could get a book every day, but the big things came for birthday and Christmas. And that's what I did for her. I mean, this girl was in private school. She was in dance. She was whatever I needed her to be well-rounded for herself. And then as she grew, that's what she became, just well-rounded in everything, even her children. And then the youngest, you know, she just does things just, you know, she's very quiet, but she just does things on her own that is just amazing to me. I just look at these women and I'm just going, wow, you know, I'm so grateful that I'm your mother. I'm just grateful that I'm your mother. You know, they
proud
make me
mom,
proud
mom,
to be their
proud,
mother
proud
every
mom,
single day.
That's
so
a,
thank you guys
mom.
For letting me be your mom.
So let's, all right, we're going to move forward. Let's talk about a little bit. Let's talk about life after college. How was life after college?
I've actually had only 4 positions in my life. 4 positions. From a head school assistant director of my first position in Patterson, Young World Nursery on Broadway, which absolutely these people did not know how to run anything, and it was just mind-blowing to me. But I was there for, I think, 3-4 years before I left. And straight from there, I went directly into Hoff and LaRoche. And that was just a blessing. I remember people asking me, who was I related to? And I'm going, I'm not related to anyone here. They said, because this is a family company. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what, when God has a door open for you, you just walk on in. And that was such a wonderful position. I just kept going back to school on them. And they provided everything. And then from there was I was a director of admissions for a business school and then became the acting director before I wasn't even there. I don't believe I was there 6 months before I received the letter to go to St. Joe's. And so now that I am doing what I love to do, I do more speaking engagements because, you know, we have COVID, but, you know, I still do what I do. I wrote my first novel, If I Only Knew Then What I Know Now. That
tell
was
us a
written,
little bit about that.
You know what I think it was? Actually, it was originated behind my amazing secretary who invited me to go to a church bus ride with her to the Apollo. The play that was being shown at that time was written by Bishop T.D. Jakes, and it was entitled Woman, Thou Art Loose. Wow. On my way home, words just compelled me to write, and I just was writing inside my Bible, anything I could put my hands on. And then the work of putting that all together became a little bit much. It was like putting a puzzle together. But eventually, I would work on it. But then, you know, you're working three different shifts at times, overnight sometimes, doing doubles at times. So it wasn't something that I did every single day. But
right.
I had a friend, amazing friend, that invited me to go to a book signing of a young woman who had written up her first novel and was her daughter's playmate when they were young. So we went to New Brunswick and went to this church. The line, I remember, was wrapped around twice, and that was from the lower level of the church all the way to the chapel. But a woman walked past me and made notice of my nails and my hair, my shoes, and she was gone. But when it was my turn to have to pay for the book and get it autographed, that was the author, the young woman who passed by and said something to me very quickly. And
wow.
She came from around her table, hugged me, and in my ear she said, God is asking me to tell you, why are you sitting on the words that he gave you? And she gave me a card. I gave her a card, and she called me that night. And she called me the second night. But the third night, she had her publisher on the line. And this woman said,
wow.
I only do inspirational novels. And if you have written anything, this young woman who's only met you once really said there is something about you. I want to read anything that you've done. And that's how my first book was done. And so now on Christmas, actually, I was contacted that this is the one that they're looking into putting into a movie. And that was just mind-blowing because it's a – if you know the story of The Temptations, it pretty much starts like that. Four young ladies that start singing in the church, and then their producer decides that they want them to go into R&B. And so you have to figure out who stayed true to their roots and who – did not. And then the second novel, which would be their sequel, Yea, Though I Walk Through the Valley, tells you every part of their lives. And so it was one story, and she decided to make it into two. And that's how that novel was published. So
I know that's an author's dream to get a call or somebody that want to put – they want to turn your novel into a movie? That's like an author's dream.
Yes. You know, well, because I saw a play, I wrote it as a play. But she said, now I need you to rewrite this as a novel. And I'm going, wait a minute. I just did this as a play. And she sent me a T-shirt. And the T-shirt was black. But it only had two words on it. And the words were, just write. And every Monday, I would, you know, every so often I would say this. I would write something, and then I would call her and ask her, how does this sound? How does this sound? Because when you never have done anything like this, you really want to make sure it's all meshing together the right way. And so that's how it all started out for me.
Wow, that's because you know I'm an author, so I know the feeling. I definitely know the feeling. Let's take a quick minute. I want to see if anybody on the phone lines. Real quick. 3282. You on the line?
What's happening, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
I didn't think I was going to get on. I text you. I shouldn't have called you. I should have texted you because for a minute it went blank there. I was like, whoa, but it might have been my phone. So anyway, peace
no, you did the right thing. I got all these laptops and all these gizmos in front of me, and it was some kind of way it was muted, and I didn't even know it in the beginning of the show. But thanks for calling me. As soon as you called me, I knew something was wrong.
Yeah, I was like, it's just space. I called three different times. I even changed the phone. I thought it might have been the phone.
Right. Yep. What's going on with you tonight?
Oh, man, just relaxing, and I'm just enjoying the wonderful story that your guest is giving over there.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
What is the sister's first name, Jay?
Lois.
Lois.
My first name is Lois.
Lois? Mm-hmm. Peace and blessings, Miss Lois. My name is Forrest Nance. It's my pleasure, and you had me closing my eyes. I was putting myself in your shoes because I can't put them in heels. And I was like, wow. This sister, I mean, you were so inspirational. I felt your spirit when
you
were talking.
Thank you.
Yes.
Wow, thank
great
you so
spirit
much.
About
thank
you,
you so much.
That's not a problem.
I really appreciate that. It's good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, this is everybody. This is Forrest Nance. I'll tell you about him a little later, but he got a podcast he do every Saturday night from 7 to 9.
Okay.
The same phone number is on awareness and health, and it's a really a good podcast. But hang in, don't go anywhere, Forrest. Hang in there. I'm gonna get back to you because I gotta tell you about cell spot, the cell zone. You know the name.
Oh, cell
spot,
yeah,
in Bloomfield.
The Cell Power Cafe in Bloomfield. Yeah.
Cell Power. Yeah.
Right.
Hold on. Don't go anywhere. All right.
No. I'm gonna listen.
All right. If you want to say hello to my guest or you got something you want to say or a question or something, you have to press 1, and then I'll know you there. If you don't press 1, I'm not going to know that you're out there. Dr. Lois.
Yes, sir.
If it was a young girl, a young woman that was trying to find her way right now, and I mean, you know, she's maybe lost in spirit or lost in faith, and you know, maybe she's doing the wrong thing, or maybe she's just going about things wrong and don't have any the proper guidance. What kind of encouragement would you give a young woman?
Well, there's a few things I would do. First of all, I would do a one-on-one with her. Second of all, there was something else I wanted to touch on, that beyond the fact that there are so many women in this city that absolutely need guidance, and some of them are running for their life. I shared a topic that I wanted to do with an amazing young woman that grew up in the church with me by the name of Patricia Frierson Lane, and she was saying that's something she wanted to do. We're putting together a proposal for a domestic violence and training center. This is not just for shelter and food and comfort. We want to give them an education. And I'm not just doing it for the women who are in trouble. I'm going to be doing it for any woman who's needing guidance. So it doesn't have to mean that they're in a domestic violence situation to come and see us. I'm doing
okay.
this because, okay. as you know, I do a lot of research on and do a lot of most of my clients are women. They are during situations of the sort. However, Chris Rock's wife had something going on like that in Brooklyn. And I was so amazed about this that it always stuck in my mind how she took, I believe, 30 young people to South Africa. And at the end of their visit, she gave them a stipend, and they had to stay with a family for maybe a day or two. Then they went shopping and bought for that family what they felt they needed most, whether it was curtains or a table or pottery or silverware, whatever they felt is what their stipend was to bring back for that family. What we have in mind is doing a shelter. The next floor would be a certifiable child care and after-school program. The next floor would be a, we're looking at four rounds of training, IT, sales, something to do with hair. I'm not sure how we're going to do that, and restaurant care. We're going to also have a store within there. I'm not going to say it's a thrift store because we're not getting anything that's not brand new. But on the first floor, we are going to have a unisex salon. These two floors will be generating funds back into our program. When I shared this idea with my dear friend that we grew up in the church together, she was so on board. We are submitting a proposal by this weekend that is completed now, and we're praying that everything goes as swiftly as it can because the
That's
need
beautiful.
Is there. The need is
That's
there.
Beautiful.
And our heart That's goes beautiful. Out because we don't want any woman, not any woman, to go without knowing someone cares. So I'm putting
right.
that out there now. It is not just for the domestic violence situation. We are never turning anyone away beyond race, color, or creed. We want anyone and everyone who has an issue, whether they stay, whether they come just to have a counseling session with me, that is fine. We're going to be teaching about parenting skills. We're going to want them to have a trade. If they don't already have one, that's our main focus, so that they don't go out the way they came in. What would be the sense in that? So I absolutely have a heart for this city, and I want to put our mark of Patricia and myself mark on this city before we move on out of the city at some point and do something greater another place, another
wow.
time.
Wow. That's great. We definitely need more individuals like yourself. We got
somebody else, another caller on the line.
Go to the phone. 2587 lives. 2587.
Hi, my name is Josiana. Good evening to everyone on the call.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Good evening. Peace and blessings, Dr. Kelly and the host. This is such a treat on a Friday evening. So, like, I'm just getting my praise on over here.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's so good. That's so good. That just made my day.
Oh, God bless.
That
I
really made my day.
Year.
Because you always want to make sure that what you send out is what you're hoping they're receiving. And in the spirit in which it may have taken 9 years or more, I am grateful for this time because today is the time I'm supposed to be on this air just to hear you calling in and speaking
Aww.
To us.
Amen, amen. And I was so tickled by that 9 years later.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe he said that. But But he was right. So I'm not, I can't even deny that. He was so right. If I was just like, oh, he's right. But you know what? I don't even have an excuse because I usually send an emoji. I usually always answer, but I found his message. So he was right. He was absolutely right. But like I said, things come up. Life happens. Life happens. And we just don't know what causes things to be, you know, it wasn't a denial. It was simply a delay.
God's timing.
All right.
I say to the host that he connected you at the right time. The dots are connected. The rest is history.
So the 9 years mattered, right?
Amen.
All right.
And I just chimed in because I wanted to share how I met Dr. Kelly.
Okay.
I have not met her in person yet.
Okay.
I have not met her in person.
Okay.
But I wanted to share with all the listeners. I met her via a telephone call. So I chimed in on this evening just to share that or piggyback on what Mr. Fryer said. I believe that's the brother's name that called.
Yes.
Okay. He mentioned your spirit. And I have to concur with him because I've only met you via telephone call. I was at my place of employment. You called there and was very inspiring to me. Never met me, but our spirits connected.
Oh, wow.
You had me in
wow.
tears over the phone because everything you stated and how you uplifted me was such a joy. Such a joy. So
I remember now.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
So I just wanted to
You just
that.
Never know. You know what?
You
and
never
if
know.
In fact, it lifted you then. Then today you got a double dose.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, dear.
Thank you.
Don't be so far.
Thank you for calling in.
Use it again. Call me again.
God bless. Everyone have a good evening.
God bless.
You too.
All right.
Thank
you.
Wow.
Dr. Lois.
Yes,
like,
sir.
The time goes so fast. We got about 10 minutes, but I want to definitely get across. Is there anything you want to get across to my listeners? Because we might have to bring you back because I used to have a 2-hour platform, but I cut it to 1 hour because I'm going to be doing two different podcasts and in between two different podcasts and I'm working on a movie, I'm working on a book. It's just overwhelming right now. But
I understand.
Is it anything that you wanted my listeners to hear or anybody to hear? Is it anything that you
want
to say?
I will employ anyone in the sound of my voice. That if there is a dream that you want to do, let's not wait for someone else to piggyback on your dream. Start working on the dream now. Do it. No matter what anyone has to say, you're going to have the naysayers, you're going to have the baysayers, but in the meantime, you can't allow your dream to not be fulfilled because someone else doesn't believe in you. If I had all the naysayers that didn't think that I could be where I am today, and I believe I shared with our host that as a child I stuttered, I stammered, I had a lisp, I was in speech class like forever, but I had praying parents and an amazing grandmother who lived to be 109 years of age. And this woman always, when it came down to her coming into our home before she went to another daughter, another aunt, or another uncle, she would always tell me, don't worry about what everybody else is saying to you. Don't worry about anything else because I see things in your life that you will write. You will speak to so many people. They're going to look like waves in the sea. And being my grandmother, and I would say to her, but how many grandchildren do you have? And she said, I don't know. But the only thing that I do know is that you're the youngest. And, you know, you just think that, you know, that just made you just feel so great, and she just knew what to say. But she wasn't just speaking. She was speaking life into my spirit. Just the other day, and I'm going to say this, I turned on a station, and there was T.D. Jakes speaking, as he stated, a substitute teacher for Pastor Joel Osteen. But what he said was so intriguing to me, because he said, if you don't know anyone that is seasoned, what are you doing? Who are you listening to? Who are you talking to? And just in my closing remarks, I want to share this. When my youngest daughter turned 21, you know, her father spoke life into her. But I gave my daughter a few gifts. I gave her a Bible and informed her, this is a book that's going to be there for you throughout your entire life. Use it. I realize you're in college, but don't forget the word. I gave her another book, which was The Purposeful Life. I said, it may not tell you where you've been, but it certainly will open up a pathway of where you're going. I gave her yet another book, which was a dictionary. Whenever you want to know something about something, anything, pick up a book, open your computer. That is what these things are for. Because anyone who else is 21 in here, they're looking for answers just like you. And no one in here has all the answers to life. You have to live it in order to be in it. The next thing I gave my child was a compass. I said to her, your parents want you to travel the world and see what you've been taught. We want you to do that. But we also want you to know that this particular compass will direct you not only to his home, but also allow you to know that you have another home with me. Lastly, I gave my two daughters, because their birthdays are a week apart, although they're 12 years different, so they've been Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, but they're 12 years apart. I said to them, do you remember how much you love gold? Oh, yes, Mommy, yes. Well, I didn't buy you gold. You know how you love diamonds? Oh, Mommy, yes. Well, I didn't do that either. But I want you to remember that I'm always watching the Discovery Channel. And once I saw where the oyster is rocked and rolled and tossed to and fro under the sea, but what it never loses is its most precious item, its pearl. So today I share with you both, and remember this for a lifetime, I am your oyster, and you shall always be my precious, precious pearls.
Wow. That was that gave me the chills. I gotta bring you back definitely. I wanna thank you.
Thank you
for calling in.
Let's not make it nine years. Thank you for having me on. I truly enjoyed it. The hour went so quickly, and I do appreciate the listeners being here. Thank you all for your support. Thank you, and support this podcast. He's very informative. He's very personable, and I'm going to be back before the next 9 years. So everyone, please stay tuned and just relax, learn, share, and enjoy.
Right. And before I let everybody go, I got to tell you, I got to promote tomorrow night. We got the Grown Folks Talking Express Yourself podcast. You can call the same phone number, and it's from 7 to 9 with the host Forrest Nance, where they dealing with more than just how to Eat to Live to Eat is how to eat to live, and they're talking about your health. They talk about things from vision, heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure. I mean, the list goes on and on. And then on Monday nights, we have another show. We have the Humble Life Experience for the music lovers and people, a lot of people that are struggling and trying to find themselves in their careers and stuff. But I want to thank everybody who tuned in. I want to apologize again for the first 2 minutes of the show. I guess I was nervous probably. I never had nobody, I guess, on here of the stature of Dr. Lois Dave Kelly. I really had a good time. I really had a good time. You made my job. You made my job easy tonight.
You really you made mine. You it was easy to do what I love to do.
So I'm
going
to have to bring you back. I'm gonna have to bring
you
back.
Okay, I look forward to it. I look forward to it.
The hour went too fast. So once again, I want to thank everybody that called in. I want to thank the people that's on the link for listening tonight. If you want to hear the show again, it'll be on my Facebook page. I'm sure it'll be on Dr. Kelly's page. And you just go on and click on the link. That's the beauty of it all, that you could hear the show tomorrow, next week, next month, because it's going to be held in the archives. So that's a good thing. Everybody, I want everybody out there to stay safe. We know that COVID is real, even though today they tell us this. The mandate for the mask is over. Next week they might tell us that we have to get the K or the N95 again. And one day they're telling us it's okay for 5 years old kids, and then one day they're telling us that it's not. Dr. Kelly, I forgot to ask you a question that I asked all my guests real quick. You still there?
I am.
All right, real quick, in like 30 seconds, is love real?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I ask all my guests that before I let them go. Is love real?
Yes, it is. If you can't love yourself, you can't love no one else. So, yes, it is.
Amen. Out of the mouth of babes. Everybody, we'll see you. If you're tuning in tomorrow night, or if not, we'll see you next Friday at the same time, 8 o'clock. Without any complication, like Dr. Kelly said, we won't be waiting 9 years again. Peace.
Oh my
God. Thank
you so much, Dave. Thank you so much.
We definitely got to do this again.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
Been 2 years and we still running. Oh. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you I wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.